To left off the previous year, discussing the situation of ta'aninan, the normal protocol when a Torah comes and one of the parties is either not physically present or not halakhically present and cannot represent themselves. So the Beis Din steps up to the plate and they put forward kindness to protect the interests of the other person. That's an issue. Basra and other places called ta'aninan. So Tosas already made the observation that we're not running to do ta'aninan in a get. After all, the Mishnah tells us that a get that arises from Eretz Yisrael, we have no reason to assume there's anything problematic. And therefore, we're not going to cause trouble. If and when the husband comes running into Beis Din 6 months from now and claims the get was the real force, we'll have to deal with it. But we're not going to take the initiative, even though at first glance, shouldn't we do so? Shouldn't we protect the interests of the husband? So Tosa says, you're right, we normally do say Tanina Nezuyaf, but it should be good like Kilibarabon. We don't want to make life too difficult for the wife. So it's kind of like we're walking a little bit of a tightrope. On the one hand, we want to protect the potential interests of the husband down the line. The other hand, the last thing we want to do is make life more difficult for this woman to be able to remarry. So therefore, Chazal shied away from applying Tanina in a case we get. But if not for the fact that it's a get, says Tosa, we can't apply Tanina. Tanina Mezuyaf is a valid application of Tanina. And then Tosfos backpedaled. Then Tosfos hesitated. Tosfos Rosh hesitated. Why did they hesitate? For a variety of reasons. Number one, Tanina is great, is wonderful, but maybe it has to be a normal Tanina. It has to be something that's more common form of a Tanina. Forged documents is not all that common. Or perhaps since Mezuyaf is only a Tanina Midrabanon, maybe we hesitate before we apply Tanina. So we had a whole array of reasons in the Rishonim why we're questioning Tanina. So at the end of the day, Tosfos tells Rosh, I'm not 100% sure. Forget about Gittin, regular Dina Mamonos. I come forward with a shtar and I want to collect from somebody who's not here. Again, either the person's physically not here, halakhically not here. Will Beis Din go up to bat and say Mezuyaf or not? So somewhat unclear in Tosfos. So whereas Tosfos was unclear, when Tosfos was tumbling about the details of Tanina, the Ramban has a little bit of a different spin on the sugya. So if you take a look at the sixth Ramban Kamos. So the Ramban tells us in the sixth Ramban Kamos in the bold print, the second line of the bold print, the Hadin Enokay, that which Tosfos suggested that maybe we're not going to say Taninan, we're actually going to collect with the shtar without bothering to authenticate it, without bothering to keep shtaros. Ramban says that is not a possibility. If you collect from somebody's property and he's not there, or you collect from his heirs, or you collect from property that he sold, the common denominator in those two cases is that the person himself is not representing himself. He must, under all circumstances, do kiyum shtaros. The afuke mamona lo mafkinan below shtara demikuyam. That's the answer about it. That would have been, if I would have had a bold a second time around, I would have double bolded that line. That the Rabban says it is impossible, it is inconceivable. You're not taking away somebody's money unless you have a shtar mikuyam. The question is, why not? But why is the Rabban so convinced that that statement is true? Tosfos wasn't so convinced that statement is true. Tosfos was tumbling with Taininon. It would appear from the Ramban that there's another factor here behind the scenes. There is some other reason why E Evshal Lahotzi Mamon Belish Shtar Mekuyam, not because Hokos Taninon. What is it? What is that missing piece? We have to go back to the drawing board. We have to go back to evaluate what the Din D'Oraisa would have been, what the Din D'Rabbanan became, and how this plays out in the rest of it. Let's go back to the basis of Moshe Rabbeinu, back to the good old days, 3,500 years ago. I walk into the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu with a shtar that says that Reuven owes me $1,000. And Reuven's standing there. And Reuven starts screaming, I don't owe you $1,000. That shtar is a forgery. It's not worth the paper that it's written on. It's forged. The witnesses are forged. So Reuven is advancing shtar, the Tainus Mezuyah. What's the Pesach of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu called Trish Lachish. I mean, I'm jumping a little bit in history. Called Trish Lachish. Don't be Trish Lachish. Eidem achasum b'malashtar na'asach mishenech v'yidus v'yidus v'yidus. If I have a document that says Reuben owes me $1,000, there are two witnesses signed on it, it's good as gold. It's as if those witnesses testified and based it. For Reuben to claim that the Eidim don't exist, that's like saying two Eidim walked the base and that said, you broke somebody's window. No, you Eidim are a figment of your imagination. You don't really exist. You're not really here. You're lost. That's nonsense. So if we are correct, the Reish Lakish is correct, that is we learned in Ge'in of Gimel. Now, whenever Eidim are signed on the Shtar, it's as if they're testifying the Alped, they did. So the game is over. The Tainus Mezuyev doesn't exist. See that? Tainus Mezuyev doesn't register on the level of Deraisa. But Chazal recognized it. Chazal, after many years, realized that once in a while, people are forging documents. And therefore, mid the Rabbanon, we have to do something about this. We cannot let this din continue. Now, again, just because a din is true in the Torah and the Imamunas, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to follow it, because the Torah itself gives the koch to the Chachamim, a tremendous authority to the Chachamim in the realm of the Imamunas. Hefker beis and hefker. If and when beis din sees that there's some kind of a need, that they have to alter a little bit the Imamunas, they have the full authority to do so. So a beis din at some point in history instituted this sugya called kiyum shtaros and said, to offset this claim that my shtar is valid, when the other person is yelling and screaming that it's not valid, that's mizuyav, Chazal gave us the necessity to do kiyum shtaros. Which beis din instituted this, I have no idea. Sometime between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the days of Yehuda Nasi, so that's a good span of 1,800 years, somewhere in that period of time. So beis din instituted, the Chacham instituted the sugya of kiyum shtaros. That's where we practiced in the moment of Sadayim. But Yesh Lachkor, one can raise a chakira, lomdash a chakira, as to what is the nature of this halacha that the Chachamim now accept Tainus Mezuyev, now necessitate Kiyum Shtaros. This practice that was instituted again at some point in history, this innovation called Tainus Mezuyev and Kiyum Shtaros, Yesh Lachkor, one can raise a very, very lomdash a chakira. What's the nature of this takana? One can understand this takana one of two ways. Either one can understand that a shtar, a document, is fundamentally valid the same way that it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not questioning that rule called Eidim Achsuv Al Shtar. We're not throwing it to question the validity of this document. A document, once it's signed, it's done. It's good to go. Elowa. Min HaTorah, you don't have a taina of Mezuyah. Min HaTorah, that's not a registered taina in Beis Din. Mid the Rabbanon, they gave validity to that taina. But the Rabbanan, they were machshiv that taina that otherwise didn't exist. Otherwise, it was a nonsensical response. But the Rabbanan, it happens once in a while. Taka people really do have a zayish taras once in a while. Therefore, with the Rabbanan, we're going to give you the ability to respond. So I have a shtar, and you have a response to that shtar. That's one way of understanding what the takana tzacham of Mezuyah slash Kim Sharps is all about. But there's another way of understanding. The other way of understanding it is that Chazal declared it's not a shtar until it's been proven. Just because there's a piece of paper with two signatures on the bottom, that's not yet called a shtar. Now, min HaTorah, that's called a shtar. Min HaTorah, that's a document. I'm a Reish Lakish, Kitab Gilam and Aleph. Eidim HaChasub al-Shtar, Nasach Mishtech, and this is amazing. I mean, once it's signed, it's over. Chazal said, with the Rabbanon, we're going to add one more step before we give that the authority of a shtar. It has to be written, signed, and verified, and confirmed. And until Kiyum Shtaros takes place, it's not considered to have the halacha tokim. It's not considered to have the strength, the authority of a shtar. So it's a very, very fine line, very, very lomdish difference. Was the takana that it is a shtar with the ability to respond back to it? Or is the takona, it's not a shtar altogether. At the end of the day, you can respond back with Zuk. At the end of the day, I got to go run around doing Kiyum Shtaros. My nephew is up to Zoy, up to Zoy. What kind of lomdus is this? The answer is that's exactly what's going on in our circuit between Tosus and the Rambam. Tosus understood that fundamentally, it's a shtar. And therefore, I who bring the shtar out of maze and have the upper hand, I'm about to win the din Torah. Hello, what? Chazal gave you the koach to respond. Your response to Mezuyah for Moshe Rabbeinu's basin doesn't recognize. Now we do recognize. The Shulchan Aruch's basin, that's an acceptable response. But you have to respond it. You have to say it.
If it isn't the same star, then it wouldn't have any value in the market as far as buying it or selling the trade without the king stars from the beginning and even a small transaction prior to this.
Well, it would have value if people were willing to give it value. I may be willing to buy a document from you with the hope and prayer that I'll be able to reclaim it. So if lemaisa on the market, people buy and sell it, then it will have value. So I'm not saying it's a good idea or bad idea to buy it, but people may still be willing to pay for it. So if you understand that a shtar, even before it's mekuyam, is a shtar, it's just that you have a response. So now we have to learn the sugya very, very carefully through the eyes of Taisa, the eyes of Dazarash. Are you responding or not? Are you taking advantage of that tainus b'zuf or not? The problem is, if you're not here, or if you're under bar mitzvah, or you're loket, you don't even know what to respond. You're not responding. Obviously, you're not responding. So, we're talking about responses of tainus. So now we have a new sugya, third back of a rabash, a cool taninon, that whenever you don't put forward the responses that we would like you to do, we're going to go up to bat for you if you're not able to. If you're a yosom, you're a lokeach, you're shlo b'fanav, we do for you what you would otherwise do. That's the sugya of based in responding. Now, wait a second, says Tosfos. There are limitations. The brakes are on. This sugya of taninon, when does based in respond? Beis Din doesn't respond all the time. Beis Din is governed by certain rules. When do we say Tanina? Satosa says, maybe you don't say Tanina on a Milsad Lo Shchicha. Maybe you don't say Tanina on a Mechudish Tikatayna. We spoke about it on Wednesday. So now you got to go, you got to open up the playbook of Tanina, go through the list of all the rules and limitations on Tanina and see, are we going to say Tanina? Not going to say Tanina. That's why there's a Tosfos, so a mile long, about the Sugya. The Ramban says, stop, hold on. You're learning the wrong Sugya, says the Ramban. The Ramban learned the other side of the Chakira. The Ramban learned that a shtar, it's not Mekuyam, is a worthless piece of paper. It's not a shtar yet. So, of course, we have to be Mekayim Nishtar. Of course, we can't budge without being Mekayim Nishtar. We can't collect money from anybody without a shtar that's Mekuyam. That's collecting money with nothing, with zero, based on what? So, says the Ramban, we don't have to waste that time learning the sugyas of Tanina. Tanina is a sugya in response. When a claim is necessary, this is Beis Din's way of putting forth a claim. It says, Rabbi, there are no claims here. The case didn't start yet. The Torah didn't start yet. The star is Makuya. So this Machlokes, the Taisa, the Rabbah, and Asugya is a fundamental Lomdish question. What is the nature of that Takona of necessitating Kiyum Shtaras? Does that Takona mean the Shtar remains Bechol Tokif, remains the Shtar even without Kiyum, with the possibility of a claim, of a response? Or do I say no? That it's nothing, it's a zero. Absolutely not. That seems to be the Kudus of Machlokes Taisa.
If there's no counterclaim,
we can't do anything.
When I come to collect, if nobody argues, then I don't need Kiyum.
No, according to the Ramban, I still need Kiyum. There's no one around, I'm still going to do Kiyum.
No, we're around.
I mean, the other fellow's around.
In 3 months, I come to collect $1,000 from you.
And I'm here, you mean it. I'm here. I don't say anything. That's the so that, so that may be a hodos by me not saying that's mezuyah. That may be tantamount to being bolded. That's mekuyah. That may be better than a kiyum shtar. If I'm around and I basically don't do anything about it, that's an implicit hodos. Well, I wouldn't say it's a form of it's. It needs hefker bez and hefker because. If not hefker based in hefker, so then the din Torah should have gone in the direction of the Bachar Shtar. So the fact that we have the authority to change the Nimabras is invoking the Bachar Shtar hefker based in hefker. What comes in our mind?
Just to follow up that question, is the Rabban saying that it's only to get from monetary?
Oh, now we're going to switch from monetary to halach to ritual. Lord, 1 second. I'm sure we'll get that. That's the next step. But let's not forget, we're not, it's strange to make sense, we're not learning the Nimabras. We're really learning Gittin. So in Gittin and Abbeis, what the Mishnah does tell us is that when it comes to Gittin, we're not going to question it. The Mishnah says that Beverish. Maybe get Eretz Yisrael. Ain't not Tzach Shem B'fai Nechem B'fai Nechem. Im Yeshel Av Oren Yiskayim B'chosbov. Can't argue with that line. Im Yeshel Av Oren means if there's a problem, if the husband catches later, we'll deal with it. We'll do Kibbutz. Clearly indicating that Kolzman, the husband, is not here. We're going to give this get. This woman is remarrying. This woman's remarrying with a get, she'ed a mekuyam. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. So the question is, how do we tolerate that? How do we let that? So Tosfos was barred with that kasha. And Tosfos says, I Tanina, what happened to Tanina, what happened to Tanina? So Tosa says, well, Mishum Yiguna Kiliberabad. So Tosa said it's almost like external, like there's an external factor here that got thrown into this chant. And we would love to do Kiyam, we'd love to insist on Kiyam, we'd love to make a fuss, we'd love to do Tanina. You know, you gotta be fair to the woman, it's not right to her. So Tosa is saying it's not a lumbish reason that Tosa is saying. It's a technical reason, it's just a pragmatic reason, because you don't want to create Yiguna issues unnecessarily. But in terms of pure lumbish, Tosa says, we really should have said Tanina here also, the same way that we do in Dini Mamas. So the Ramban takes issue with that as well. Because the Ksuba always becomes a secondary issue. Once you end up getting the get, so then usually the Ksuba goes hand in hand for technical Ksuba different reasons. So comes the Ramban and takes issue with Tosa on this one as well. So let's take a look at the Ramban back to Maramakam number 6. So now it's in the third line of the bold lines. Avozu eino domu l'mishnah seichel. It says the Rabban, your entire discussion about mezuzia for tanina, ma'isaloch, the Tosis spending half a daf on, says the Rabban, the whole thing is not right. The whole thing is not a good application. Why? So the Rabban now gives a lumdish reason. She ein isha zu mamono shel baal el b'shus atzma hilihin osay. Anan lo manina lo kedem min ilo ma'aranan nekav na'arer. Comes around and says that, wait a second, we're not going to do taninon on a get. You know why? Taninon is a mechanism of dine mominus. Taninon is something that Beis Din uses in the protection of your property. A woman, the Mechilas covered the Balei HaTosfos, says Ramban, the woman is not the property of the man. She's not the mammon of the man. She's ain't no bishus abal, ain't a mamenish abal. And therefore, the entire discussion of Taninan is completely out of balance, says the Ramban, completely irrelevant. You're learning the wrong thing, the Ramban says to the Balei HaTosfos. Taninan is, I have a shtar that says you owe me $100. I broke your window. I didn't break your window. I bought your field. Didn't buy your field. Taninan, yeah, no, maybe. The Ramban, that was last year. That was Baba Master. We learned Taninan. Now we're learning Gittin. In the realm of Gittin, you can't say Taninan, Eina Isha Mamena, Eina Isha Mishus Shabbat. What would the Balei HaTosfos respond to that Ramban? How the Balei HaTosfos for sure took Tanina very seriously. They went through the intricacies whether we do say Tanina here or not. And the only reason they can come up with is why you don't say Tanina, because it's in the Sefer Shchicha, or maybe it's Tanina Derabban, it's a Tanina Mechudash, all the limitations of Tanina. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, we had no qualms, we had no hesitations of saying Tanina, even though we're dealing with Gittin, we're not learning about it right now. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Tosfos and Ramban? What are they arguing about? Why is it that Tosfos is looking at the sugya of Gittin through the eyes of Tanina? They are bridging the gap between Baba Basra and Gittin. It's all one Masech. It's all one sugya. It's all one Limud. And the Ramban says, no, stop. Last year was the Zikin. This year is Noshim. The two have nothing to do with each other. So there seems to be a fundamental Machlokes here in terms of how to understand what a get is doing. Because there seems to be an earlier fundamental machlokes as to what Kedushin accomplished in the first place. A get is simply undoing what Kedushin did. But in order to understand what a get is undoing, we have to understand what happened in the past. What happened B'shas Kedushin? What happened way, way, way back when the couple got married and she became Kudeshus to him? So I want to know in terms of pure Dini Mamonos, when we learned the Sugi Yeshiva 2 weeks ago, I prefaced this part of the Sugi with the Bacham saying it's problem. I said, those who are married, I ask you, please don't share the following Chakira with your wife. Those who are not yet married, if you're going on a date, please for sure don't. You're going to have a second date, please for sure don't. And this is not something you should discuss with your mothers and sisters. I said, let's keep this in the realm of the Mishmeresh. I'll get the same Lomda here also. We're looking at it just purely simply through the eyes of Lomdas. The question becomes, from the vantage point of Lumbus, just how literally do we take those first words in my Sabbath condition? Ha'isha niknes l'mayla. How literally do we say that what's taking place under the chuppah is a kinyan of sorts? What relationship of Didi Mamonos exists between a husband and wife? I'm not talking about the responsibilities of supporting. Those are for sure Didi Mamonos. I'm not talking about the sugyas that you're learning. If you owe me the sugyas of Ksubis, the things that he has to do and she has to do and her obligations. That's for sure Dini Mamonos. I'm talking about the very marriage relationship. Just how literally do we take that term, Isha Nikdeis, in terms of Kinyanim? So I'll give you a highlight of Marshall for this idea. There's a Pnei Yeshua in Masechet Gittin, the fourth parak. It's a fascinating question. Yeshua raises the following question. Why is it that once a woman becomes an Eish Zish, when she's married to Reuven, why can't Shimon potentially be Makadosh her as well? Why is Ein Kiddushin Tovsin the Eish Zish? Where did that halacha come from? That Ein Kiddushin Tovsin the Eish Zish. I'm not, the Pnei Yeshua is not asking the question, why can't Shimon go ahead and literally marry her? She's already married. She's Eish Zish, little sin enough. He wants to know, why is it that just because Reuven gave her a ring yesterday, what prevents Shimon from giving her a ring today and making a second Kiddush on the same woman? That's the Pnei Yeshua's conceptual. Everybody knows it doesn't work. It's obvious it doesn't work. The verse says 100 times, Ein Kiddushin Tovsin to be Eish Zish, but conceptually one. So the Pnei Yeshua gives you the following motion. He didn't give this particular object. He lived back in the 79s. I'll give you the object. I own a car. I decide to sell the car to the event. You sell the car, and the moment the title, whatever, right? They call it Allah Kinyanim, whatever it is. It's now Reuven's car. Next week, I decide to sell that same car that I just sold to Reuven. I'm going to sell it to Shimon. Would anybody ask a woman such a question, why can't I do that? He has nonsensical questions that you can't do it, it's not yours. The ABCs of Dina Mamanus says you can't sell what doesn't belong to you. It says the Pnei Yeshua, that's the reason why the woman cannot be Mekudeshes to somebody else. But a woman is born, she's a little girl, she's born, so she's born with this chus, that Dina Mamanus, so to speak, she, until she's 12 years from father, but after that, she can decide who she wants to marry. So she has that chus of Dina Mamanus to, quote unquote, and I say this again, obviously, without literalness, to sell herself to the Torah's Kedushin. Once she chooses who to sell herself to, once she's Mekadosh herself, accepts Kedushin from Reuven, so to try to be Mekadosh herself to Shimon is like selling a car to Shimon, who you ready to sell to Reuven this week. So says the Pnei Yeshua, that's the reason why Ein Kiddushin Tovsin to be Eish Zish. It's fundamentally in pure lumdus, not all that different than the inability to sell a car second time around. That's the Pnei Yeshua. So the Avni Belun, Avni is written by the Ketzos. Ketzos wrote three very famous svarim. One of the Ketzos, on Hashem Mishpat, Yishev Shvaitz, on all kinds of sigils, and sfeikas, and robes, and things like that. They wrote the Sefer Avni Belun, on Evan Ezer. So the Sefer Avni Belun, he says, he doesn't know what the Pnei Yeshua is talking about. He doesn't know why the Pnei Yeshua is giving him a show about, the Pnei Yeshua probably gave him a mashal about selling a horse, but we'll sell it to cars, and we'll concrete for us. What is he talking about? That's the reason why Ein Kiddushin Tovsin to be Eish. Says the Avni Belun, I'll tell you why Ein Kiddushin Tovsin to be Eish Zish, because an Eish Zish is an erva, and the halacha is Ein Kiddushin Tovsin to be Mechal Arayis. Why is it that if you're Mekadosh your sister or your mother, why is Ein Kiddushin Tovsin? The person gives a ring to his sister and says, Arayah, but that she doesn't get, because the Gemara learns from Sukkim that Kiddushin don't make any sense in the Parashat of Arayis. So Eish Zish appears in Parashat Achrayimot, she's on the list of the Arayis, so of course Ein Kiddushin Tovsin to be Eish Zish. Why is the Pnei Yeshua looking, searching for the Mishalim about Dinim Amos? Is the Moshe right about the Dinamonis? I'm not even sure. I don't even know the Moshe's right. Maybe the whole idea of Kiddushin is not really a Kinyanim. The Mishnah calls it Kinyanim. It looks like a Kinyan. It's a little bit of money, a little bit of this. It gives, like, gives that impression superficially as a Kinyan. But is it Dinamonis? It's not really Dinamonis. So could that be, that's the Nakuda that Tosas and the Ramban are arguing about in our city as well. Tosas is looking at divorce through the eyes of Dini Mamanus. What a get basically is, besides its implication of an Issa Heter, a get is an undoing of a Dini Mamanus relationship. It's a quote-unquote selling back to the woman her rights. When she accepted Kiddushin, she was machna herself to the husband. When she gets divorced, he is machna back to herself. It's basically Dini Mamanus. So now, wait, we're trying to decide, is it get kosher or not? We're deciding a shadow of Dini Mamanus. We're deciding we're going to take away, quote unquote, the husband's property. So Tosas says, wait a second. You want to take away somebody's property and that person is not around to represent their interests? That's what Tanina kicks in. That's what Basin steps up to the plate. So that's what Tosas says. A whole Amud discussing. Is Tanina appropriate? Not appropriate. Again, depending on the nuances, the details of Hilchos Tanina. But the Ramban says, stop the sugya. The whole sugya is wrong. You're looking at the whole divorce process incorrectly because, quite frankly, says the Ramban, you looked at the whole marriage process incorrectly. If you thought marriage was a kinyan, then divorce is the opposite of kinyan. If you hold that marriage was never a kinyan in the first place, then it'd be a reality, any literal sense. So then, obviously, again, it's nothing to do with the moments. If it has nothing to do with the moments, Ramban says so eloquently, ain't the isha, mamani, shalabal, so what do you have to be a Chinese with tanin? There's nothing to do with tanin. Do we have any real precedent in Rishonim for this Shaila? How do we view the institution of marriage? Do we really look at it through Mamon Abal, through Kedusha, through Kinyan, etc., or not? So there is a sugya, I didn't put it on the Mamakamas, so it's a little bit to touch about that. There's a sugya in the beginning of Masechet Kedusha, about probably days, where the Gemara discusses as follows, a very, very strange way of Kedusha. Imagine the Chassan Kalam standing under the Chuppah, and the rabbi asks, where's the... You have the ring. I left the ring home. No ring. Oh, yeah, yeah. Give out. No Kesef Kedushin. So, what do we do? So, all of a sudden, this is not a good way to start for marriage. Well, I'll show you the case that the Gemara illustrates on Kedushin of Bava Rebeis. Rebeis says it happens to be that she borrowed a few dollars from him last week. And she owes him $5 last date. She owes him $5. He says to her, listen, instead of me giving you a ring, I'm going to be a really nice guy. I'm going to be Michael those $5 that you owe me. So I'm giving you $5. You used to be $5 down. Now you're going to be $5 up. Harem could actually be Mechilas Milvazum. Lomdisha Kedushin. So please don't ever try it. So comes the Gemara and says, Ainam Kedush. That's not considered to be Kedushin. Why is it not considered to be Kedushin? No. Either because halachli, it's not called giving, it's not called kesef, it's not kesef. Kichachet. A whole array of sugyas and confusion above as to why exactly it doesn't work. The bottom line is it doesn't. So the Gemara changes course a little bit. And the Gemara says that what if he's Makadishar with the following? He's not actually outright Moichel alone. He says to listen, you really you owe me this money today. I can really go collect, take it to Beisdim right after the Yichur, I'm taking it to Beisdim to collect that $5. I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to extend the loan to you a little bit. And you're benefiting from that. You're very, very happy. Baruch Hashem, I don't have to pay back the loan yet. I'm going to bet you're benefiting from that. So I'm giving you a shtickle hada'ah. So I'm going to kaddish you. That hada'ah is probably worth a pruta to you. You would have paid a guy a pruta to keep me, push me off for a couple of weeks. So I'm going to kaddish you with the hana'ah that you're getting from my extending the loan and delaying payment on this loan a little bit, kudeshously. So the Gemara says, guess what? It could be shetla kudeshes. But the Gemara says, you shouldn't do it. Why shouldn't you do it for multiple reasons? Why shouldn't you do it? Because it smacks a little bit. Catch this one. It looks a little bit like ribbis. A little bit of interest here. A little bit of ribbis. Why? He lent the $5. He's getting back $5. And he's got a wife. So he's got $5 plus a wife. So it looks smacks of ribbis. So the Gemara, when it discusses the Shaila, the Gemara says, it's what we call haramas ribbis. Haramas ribbis is a very, very low-level ribbis. It's a very, very low-level ribbis derabbanan. It doesn't look like it doesn't sit right with us. It's a ribbis derabbanan. Come to Rishonim and ask on the sugya, why is there only a ribbis derabbanan? This is a ribbis deraisa. This is the real makoi. If I lend you $5 and you give me back $6, if I lend you $5, you give me back $5 plus an apple, that's ribbis deraisa. So I gave you $5. You gave me back $5. Eventually, next week, you're going to pay back $5. You give me $5 plus yourself. Why isn't that ribbis deraisa? That's the question we should pose. So we're not doing it anyway. The Gemara says you can't do it. It's derabbanan, doesn't look right, it doesn't sit right. So halacha l'maaseh can't do it. But why is it not so bad? Why is it only ribbis derabbanan? What is it about it that's not ribbis deraisa? So Rishonim starts scrambling around trying to figure out why isn't it ribbis deraisa? Some Rishonim say because the ribbis wasn't included at the time of the loan. The Rambam Shit is. And it can only be ribbis deraisa if you stipulated the ribbis at the time of the loan. If you start to add on ribbis at a later point, maybe that's only ribbis derabbanan. That's the Rambam's answer to this question. But other Rishonim give different answers. So the Rashba, on the spot in condition that Rambam Bey says, I'll tell you why it's not ribbis deraisa. It's not ribbis deraisa. Ribbis deraisa means when I give you five and you give me back mumminus worth more than five. You give me back six. You give me back five plus an apple. So there's mumminus that's transferred from you to me. Says the Rashba, that Eina Isha Mamono Shalabal. She didn't give herself over. There's nothing intangible in the moment. This is not a $6. This is not an apple. This is a relationship that they're married. Says the Rashba. It's like Ribbis Deraisa. Ribbis Deraisa is presupposing that there's mumminous transfer, extra mumminous transferring from the loba to the malva. That's Ribbis Deraisa. A wife. A wife is not an extra dollar in your pocket. A wife is not in your pocket. Ain't an isha money shalabal. So what the Rashba is saying in Kedushin, in a totally different sugya, is really a reflection of what the Ramban is saying in our sugya. It's the same idea, the same you say. that when you look at, you don't look at marriage and divorce through the eyes of Didi Mamonis. There's no real Didi Mamonis here. It's a code phrase, Isha Niknes. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't mean anything in terms of thousand sex. But according to Tosas, before you can say that, according to Tosas, Kedushin is Mamonis. If Gittin is Mamonis, the Kedushin is Mamonis. So the Ritva on that same sugya in Masechta Kedushin is a little bit of a twist, a little bit of a different answer. And perhaps the reason why the Ritva gave a different answer is because the Rashba's Yisod is not so posher, not so simple. So the Ritva says, I'll tell you why it's not Ribbis Deraisa. Ribbis Deraisa means that the Malva walks away with the upper hand financially. The Malva's got more than he started with. So I started the game last month with $5. I walk away, I got $6. That's what the Torah says in Alaham. Says the Ritva, this part, please don't share with your wives. Says the Ritva, yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. You got a wife out of this. It's true. You got that extra quote unquote dollar, half a loaf of dollars. But says Ritva, you also got yourself a lot of bills to pay. And the Ritva says that in terms of mominess, ish mafsid yaser bashumavir. That's what that's like to the Ritva. So for this, I shared with the Bachram, I said, only those who are married can answer this question. I said, name me your credit card. But whatever it is, you tell me what your bills say on it. It doesn't mean Khalil Machalil, a person's mafsid in the greater world of things, but in terms of pure dinim, for Ribbon's purposes, ish mafsid yosef ashimah. So again, Abaycha Yivchar, but there seem to be two very, very different, very different approaches to the Gittin Sugya, which are really ultimately a reflection of the two different approaches to the Kedushin Sugya. Do we look at Gittin / Kedushin with the eyes of pure Didi Mamonis, and therefore Tanina we could discuss, ability we could discuss, or do we say, no, wait a second. Didi Mamonis was last year. This definitely has it. This Kedushin, Gittin, these are different kinds of sugyas, and therefore they're not covered by the regular rules of Didi Mamonis. So next week we'll try to put some of the final touches on the sugyas. Do we decide on the timing of the next week?
So we're going to keep this same.
But Monday and Thursday, we definitely
as now I left them.